This morning's message, too hard to reshape. Too hard to reshape. Last week, we talked on Jeremiah 18th chapter about him, the potter making a vessel. And we see that in this process of shaking and making and forming, as in the book of Genesis, when he was creating the earth and he was making man in his image and likeness, that there was a time when that vessel was complete. But when that vessel was complete, he says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. There was a continuing process to give that vessel character, to give that vessel an inner being, an inner soul. And we have to have our character shaped and formed by the Word of God. And those that don't have that spiritual blessing, that don't have that born again experience, that they were shaped and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, they're on the other side. They have not been born again, and that they have conformed to the ways of the world, and they're part of this world. They're hard vessels. They're vessels that cannot be shaped. They are vessels that were made for destruction. And there comes a time when judgment comes and the vessels that are made for destruction has to be destroyed. We see here where he told Jeremiah in the first verse, he says, thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people, of the ancients of the priest. So we see that he took secular people, that he took the elders of the city. In other words, the rulers, the counselors, the mayors, the ones that were running the civil government, but he said also the ancient of the priests. So he took the religious leaders also out. And when he took them out to the valley, and he says, go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. This east gate is not used very much in the scripture, and it's used by some other names in scripture. But as we come to this gate in the valley of Hinnom, it says, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah. You rulers, and y'all that's the shakers and the makers, the foundations of Israel, the foundations of Judah. Those are the ones that had heard Josiah's reformation. Josiah had lived some 20-some years during the time of Jeremiah's ministry, and Jeremiah had sought a death of Josiah. But it looks as though, as we were reading, we saw that he wasn't very high on Josiah's reformation. And those that are spiritual now in the church can see why. They can see why we're not high on religious reformation during this day and time. Because it's just outward. The people had an outward show of religion, as in Josiah's time, so in this day and time. People are complaining of confessing the born-again experience and that they're members of the body of Christ and that they follow Jesus, but it's all words. It's all vain words. But these people have been shaped. They have been formed. They have been fitted for their destruction, and the destruction that they'll see would be religious destruction. This destruction would come at the hands of God. He says, not by might, not by power, but by spirit. Because it may be the powers that be that God is shaking and breaking. It may be those within the church that he's shaking and baking and breaking. It's no more baking. Baking was during the process of trial and tribulation when those vessels was put in the fire and tested. But now when they're put in the fire and tested, those that don't come through, some will be broken and destroyed, but some may lose their reward for siding with the wrong side, for consorting with the enemy, for fraternizing with the enemy. That's why we have to stay on top of things. That's why we have to stay politically abreast of what's going on. Ignorance is not bliss, as I was telling somebody today. It's just not that you didn't know, you should have known. My people perish for the lack of knowledge, he says. Just because someone is willingly ignorant of something doesn't mean that to be so. That's why he says at the time of their ignorance, God winked, but now he requires that because he's spoken by his son. And he given us as a witness to go out and evangelize the world. And that's what we should do. Speak just as Jeremiah spoke. But in these last days in our speaking, we will carry the rod. The sword of the Spirit, which shall break some vessels, which shall bring forth judgment. And I don't know where the religious community come from and people like our mayor that says, well, you're breaking the peace and the unity. Who said anything in religion about peace? We have peace. The religious people, those of Jesus Christ, have peace and joy no one can take. But we didn't come to make peace here. We come to bring a sword. It's going to be a division. So you can forget about that unifying we all just seen kumbaya. That this thing is fit to start really cooking. The fire, he says, he wished that fire was already kindled. It's going to be a lot of his people present their bodies as living sacrifice. We're not going to fear what man can do to the body. We're not going to fear what happens to us. We're going to make the devil manifest himself. And we see that the devil is manifesting himself at this day and time. So what he says is, he says, and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. You get that jittery, you get that rush of adrenaline to see what's happening, to see calamity. God says he frameth evil against this place, against this city, against Baton Rouge here, against this state, against this nation. God says he's framing evil. He's tired of it. It's judgment time. We're right at that door. When you talk about the great tribulation. But if you listen to some preachers, you will be raptured out of here. You will be snatched out of here. You're not going to go through this. Well, Jeremiah didn't tell these people that they were destined for destruction and don't fight this. Wonder whose word ruled out in the end. Wonder did they get captured and didn't they go to Babylon? Didn't they go to Babylon and didn't Judah lose out and was taken into captivity? Because you had weak elders, you had weak leaders, you had weak preachers that wasn't telling the people, as 1 Peter says, the elders which are among you, the true elders, exhort and that to witness the sufferings of Christ, that we will suffer also. We will suffer for speaking God's word. Jeremiah suffered for speaking this word against the people. We got people that suffering in this city right now for speaking against the evil of this city. They lose their jobs because the structure, the structure that is, don't want you coming against the structure. That structure, just like during the times of Pilate, it's like during those times when you come against that structure could try to crush you. When you come against the governor of this state, now how many innocent people have lost their jobs for standing up for what's right? In this nation, how many people have lost their jobs, lost election for standing up what's right? Because the people are ripe for destruction. They're corrupt. They're corrupted to the hearts. But God has his people that are standing and warning and saying, God's framing evil against you. God's framing evil. They was telling them before he died in 11. God's framing evil because your heart is not right. You say you're Christian. You say you're religious. But we're going to make that manifest. We're going to see what you are. Time will tell. We're going to test that paint job. We're going to test your skills. We're going to test that religion that you say you have. So he says, because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place, and have burned incense unto other gods whom they neither nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah have filled this place with the blood of innocents. I just told you of some of the innocents. This city's government, just like I said, the state's government and the nation's government, we're not talking about abortion. You know, your preachers and things, they beat the poor women. They love to say about the abortion is and how many children they give you. I hate to hear sermons with a lot of statistics and things about, well, this many children will get aborted a year and this and that. those aren't just the ones he's talking about, because that was a minute number during the time of Israel. Israel wasn't aborting their children. They had some, and these was of the upper echelons that were sending their children to the fire, just as today, the ones that are in the higher religion sacrifices their children. But the ones in those days, they wasn't sacrificing their children in the fire that were of the Lord, because those was the one that helped them till the fields. Those was help. In an agrarian economy, you need those that help you, that will be able to help the people in an agrarian economy. You need those kind of people, so they wasn't destroying them. It wasn't those were the innocent. The innocent was Isaiah. Isaiah, whom Manasseh, the son of Josiah, had sawed in half. The innocent was Jeremiah. The innocent was Amos. The innocent was his prophets. The innocent was Ananias during the time of the book of Revelations, when he says, "My faithful Marannas was killed among you." The innocents are the ones that stand up in the church, that stand up in the city, that stand up in the nation and say, "You're wrong. You're wrong." And but it's the nations, it's the government that say, "You're not patriotic." I hear you talking against the government. "You're not patriotic. You talk against the city. You're not patriotic if you don't worship Caesar." Chief White's fault wasn't that he didn't do his job. It's nowhere in any of those allegations that he didn't do his job. It's just that he didn't worship the mayor. Him and his opinions didn't agree with one another. It's no allegation there that he didn't do what he was supposed to do. It's that he didn't worship man. Cynthia Bridges, it's not that she didn't do a job. Mike Foster said she did her job and she was wonderful at it. It's just that she didn't agree with our governor. It's not that Sirius didn't do his job in the Department of Health and Resources. It's just that he didn't agree with the governor's opinion. You see, and that's what's wrong with the men of this city. He says you can't find a man. It was only women standing up with the chief. It was only women standing up with Jesus at the grave. The men had broken rank. It's hard to find a man to stand for what's right, because he knows what it's going to entail. It's going to entail suffering, unless you're in a church that preach against the women and just say this is about abortion. No, it's about whether you stand for that which is right. Paul said, "At my first trial, at my first thing, no man stood with me." I hope God don't lay that to their charge. No man stood with him. That's why the breakup between him and Barnabas is because John Mark had left the work. He didn't say John Mark wasn't profitable to him. He didn't say he wasn't great, but John Mark wasn't a fighter. He wasn't a fighter. Timothy wasn't really a fighter. But he says, "Timothy, don't let no man despise thine youth." But he left Titus at Crete because the Cretans was liars. They were slow bellies. See, you need someone like Dwight White to stand up against the crooks that's here. It's a different type of crook in each region. That's like Daniel when he was praying. He had to pray, but the angel said, "I heard you from you when you first started praying, Daniel. But I was fighting against the angel of Persia." And you see that that's a jurisdictional fight where some angels have to have help from other angels. And that you're fighting, each city has a demon over it. Each of these have different things ruling. The spirit that's here in Baton Rouge is different from the spirit that's in Shreveport. It's different from the spirit that's in New Orleans. But all those demon spirits, these principalities and powers of wickedness and darkness and high places that we're wrestling against. But God's people can see these things and they stand against those. But most of the people that don't see them are in darkness, are dwelling in darkness. Are they sheep that will be slaughtered, and they're not the very elect? See, because it's not going to be possible to fool the elect, because the elect are driven by works. In other words, the faith that they have works. You notice in some church, some people don't do anything. There are a lot of people of religion, and God said that during the time of Gideon first asked among them, how many people have a scared nature? How many are fearful? of the 32,000, 22,000 say, well, look, we can do this and thing, but we can't fight and everything because we're scared, we're fearful. 22,000 out of 32,000, 22,000 left. You're not going to have people that's going to be able to stand up to the other religions. You're not, everybody in the church is not going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. They're not going to have, they're not going to apply themselves. God says that he can make that a vessel, but it's a different vessel from this vessel over here. We have different vessels. That's why he says he's going to reward us according to our works. Because some of our works, they're works that we can, you know, testify of Christ or whatever, but he's not going to put that kind of pressure on you. See, Paul had to have somebody strong with him because the devils can feel that scared spirit. So two strong people have to go together. But if you got somebody with you and they're scary or whatever, that demon can sense the fear in him. He could smell the fear. If you've been watching right now, the only ones that would go to battle in this is the ones that's prayed up, the ones that's strong. That's the remnant that's going to be left. He said, a remnant shall be left. If you look at any time in God's place, only a remnant is left. That's the few. That's the strong. That's the one during Daniel's time says, the righteous shall wax brighter and brighter. Because of work and exercise of use of the word of God, they'll get stronger and stronger. But see, God had a different work for Peter. So when Peter and James were thrown in the jail, James lost his head. But he had other works for Peter because Peter was of a different strength. It's some people that are not of a warrior spirit. They're not that warrior. They're not that Caleb or Joshua. They're just, you know, not made for that. They don't have that in them. And so the innocence he's talking, these are strong people. If you notice the 30 that David had, his 30 strong people around him, they wasn't cowards, they were good men. Uriah was one of those men. That's why David could never recover. He could never rise any further than he rised because he worked wickedly against Uriah. If you look at this administration, in both of these administrations within the city and the state, the men that surround these people are scared people. I wouldn't want people amongst me that are scared people. The other night I was reading and I was saying something. I said verse 20 chapter and I was saying, and Brother Dent said, well, it's no 20th verse in there. And I said this, but I come back this morning. I said, well, you know, Brother Dent was right. I did say the 20th verse. It should have been chapter 20 verse 1. See, but if you have people just like in some of these churches, that pastor then went off and did all kinds of things. How many denominations where you have the elder then fail? The preacher of that church then fail some church scandal. If you look at that ministry, that preacher didn't have anybody that could say anything to him. Nobody in the elder board could ever say he was wrong. Nobody could stand up to him. Well, you have a tyrant. You don't have a ruler. That's why the church is ran by elders. The elders, after the preaching session, after they do something, they say, well, when we was preaching or whatever, they don't rebuke one another openly. They get back in counsel and say, well, let's look at this because an elder should be temperate and grave. He should be able to speak without having strife. And they say, well, some of our teaching or preaching is going astray. And let's pray about this and let's look at this. And that's the other elder say, well, man, yeah, I did get off. I wasn't, because we all make mistakes. To that preacher, those preachers right now, if they still over the congregation, and we've had many right here in Baton Rouge have to resign congregation. Somebody in that church, some elder, some man in there seen him getting off the trail. But he wasn't accountable to anyone. You see, they didn't go along with his opinion. Sometimes my opinion may be self-centered. And that's what happened in Judah. Their people had become self-centered. The churches have become where this, the evangelists, it says men of renown in the old days when God destroyed the first world. because these people that have these ministries now, super evangelists, nobody durst not tell them anything. The ministry is in their name, they're preaching and teaching. All the people fall after that person. So when that person falls, it's like one evangelist fell here in town. I used to listen at some of his programs. But the good men that were in that study of the word with him, they left. The study of the word still goes on, but it just have yes men in there with him now. It's not what it used to be, because good men won't stay with there with that. The next police chief we have here, if this one don't get reinstated, because if this one don't get reinstated, this government is ready to be broken. I don't see why it's not now anyhow, because it's corrupt. It is corrupt. But can you imagine the next police chief that come here? He's saying that I'm willing to be a patsy of the mayor. I see what's going on. I'm not going to stand against him. I'm afraid of him, and I'm willing to take this job. But a good man wouldn't take that job. Good man wouldn't take that job. See, now the thing about it is, those are the innocents. So the innocents, when you come against the structure of this world, because this is Satan's world, Satan is the god of this world. When you attack that structure is going to come after you. That structure always come after you. That's why we're having the wars we're having now. When it says nation against nation, and you also see why you have racial tension. But see, don't cover things up. That's why I said that's the difference between a cult and an occult. One covers up and one uncovers. So you need to get these things open and dealt with. But see, the person that just go along and let's just tolerate this. No, we need to bring this out. We need to, everything that's hidden in the dark will come to the light. Let's bring it to the light and deal with it. But see, deal with it, it might cost you your job. Deal with it, it might cost you your pastorship. Dealing with it might cost you your marriage. But it's better to get out of that marriage instead of remaining in that marriage and being less than a man or a woman. That's why it's a lot of women that overthrow, because God's going to be on the side of what's right. That's the innocents that cry to him day and night. Those are the souls that are under the altar that crying to God. They hadn't experienced life if they were aborted. They wouldn't know what life is if they were aborted. But these saying, how long, Lord, shall before you avenge our blood? These are people like Abel. He says his blood cried out to me. The souls under the altar. These souls know they had been did wrong. They know it was their friends who backstabbed them. They know it, the people. How long, Lord, before you justify what had happened to me? I stood for you. That's what Jeremiah said. Lord, I stood for you in the gate. I prayed for these people. I did what you told me to do. And it hurts when you stand and you do like you're supposed to do. I did what I'm supposed to do in my marriage. I love my wife. I love my children. This is how she done me. How long is you going to let this go on, God? How long is you going to let this go on? This man beat me. This man treated me this way. And I did what you told me to do. God hears that cry. That's the innocence he's hearing. If this was aborted fetuses, they wouldn't know about all these relationships because they wouldn't have even been born into life. Those are not the innocents he's talking about. He's talking about the innocent that cried to him day and night. How long the unjust judge says, this woman cried to me day and night. Unless she weary me, let me give her what she wants. God hears you cry. That's why he says pray to him. When your enemy is doing you wrong, he says pray to him. How long do you think God's going to let you keep coming to him on your knees about what's going on your job? How long, you see how many emails the chief sent. Do you think this guy that prayed with him, it was an editorial in the paper, this woman in Donaldsonville saw what the chief had did. She said, this guy, this chief came to this man's house and prayed with this man. He hugged him and he prayed with him. You don't think God heard that prayer? Do you think God is the way that people picture him on the side of evildoers? God is watching, but the people say God don't see it. and they portray themselves as being those that follow God. This Mary, look at the three churches that he went to the day he was anointed. Neither one of those churches was the church that he attended, I don't think. The one that he grew up in. But it was the ones that the people like. It was the ones that the people follow. You hide in the churches. And that's why he told Jeremiah. Look at the 15th verse and the 14th verse. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house. Don't go out there in the world. You go in the court of the Lord's house and say to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city, upon all towns, all the evil that I had pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, and that they might not hear my words. You go in the church and tell them that. But the churches are saying, you all right. Don't get involved. See, that was Edom's problem when we read about in Obadiah. Edom stood by and didn't stand with their brother. How many are standing by and not standing with the chief of this? And then a couple of months from now, a year or so from now, you're going to have all these churches on Channel 2 and Channel 9. Well, we just trying to get them to do this in the community. They're trying to build themselves a name. That's why I don't look at that on television, Father, because the preachers are just a joke also. Because they're wanting to be seen. Well, we're having this community thing at break and we're doing this. Yeah, but where was you when God sent an actual man to stand in there and do something and call what's wrong, wrong? How many more people do you think of a different race could come stand with these people that this guy, his wife, all her children, all the people that know her, all the people that know him say, well, what happened when you went down there and stood with them? You see what happened to you? It was one of them that turned on you. And where was the people at when it happened to you? Where was the NAACP at then when this was going on to you? See, you have to think of the ramification of everything you do. When you're a leader, you have to think of how this man felt. How could he face his friends when you committed adultery on him? How could she face her friends when he saw you fooling around over here and doing this? What effects this have on your children? What effects this have on your community? That's why he was saying on this whole city. You brought this on your whole city. That's why the Pharisees said, told Judas, they was the one that gave him the money. But he said, they said, don't bring that money in here to us. That's blood money. We don't want that money in here. How long are we going to stand by? And you're going to have to give account because you stood by and did nothing. You either for him or against him. What would Jesus accused of? Going against the tradition of the elders. They said, you go against the tradition of the elders. But what was Jesus' reply? He said, by the traditions of your elders, you may void the commandments of God. Your laws then got to where they supersede or steer around the laws of God. You dedicate this to, you say, God, and say that it's Korban, so you cannot do for your father, brother, sister, or mother. See, it's a lot of ways that the devil, it caused schemes and devices of the city, of the devil. Now this man called this other man, and like I said, that's an ad hominem argument where you resort to not talking of the facts, you resort to name calling. Well, if you call somebody the master of deception, what title would that be? Who's the master deceiver? That's what you actually call in this person. And you saying that he's breaking the unity of the city. What unity of the city? It was the city that done me wrong. I'm a witness of that. I know our judges are corrupt. I stood before the corrupt judges in this state all the way up to the Supreme Court. In this last election, when they elected Hughes to the Supreme Court, and I don't know how many read in the paper about the violation it was when the governor was trying to interfere in that election. But one of the reasons why is because you have judges like Tim Kelly and other judges that overturned and say it was unconstitutional for some of his education things, for some of the things to the state. But if he get a man on the Supreme Court, they can overturn those other judges. So that's how the system works. They always have somebody running the corrupt system. You have judges on the U.S. Supreme Court. That's why John Roberts stood in. Now they're saying they're going to revisit this thing about campaign finance because they see it's a problem. So when he says he's going to destroy the city, we're not looking for a physical destruction of Baton Rouge. We love Baton Rouge. We're not talking about a physical destruction of Louisiana. We love Louisiana. We're not talking about a physical destruction of America. God bless America. I love America. So we're not separating that. We're saying that we walk in the kingdom and that those that are in the city, that are in the state, and that in this nation, God's going to remove them because we believe that he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they soon be shall cast out. That this is the kingdom right here, in that we're talking a spiritual kingdom, in that they will be though they don't exist. You see, you have this thing as what you can see, but we walk by faith. We see God working, and we see the devil being manifest, and we not going to hold hands with him. So no, man, there's no we. It's not we. You're the adversary. You are a Satan. That's what adversary means, a Satan. You against God. See, at one time in Chronicles and 1 Kings, they have where God withstood David, and then it says Satan withstood him. You see, what David had become, he had become God's adversary. Man can become your adversary, and that's what the word Satan means, is adversary. So this man has become the adversary. We don't want unity at his price. It says, keep the faith and follow peace with all men as much as it lie possible. But we have to do, as Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. So if he says, kill the Hebrew children, we have to do like the Hebrew midwives did, or the Egyptian midwives, and we have to do what God says first. If a woman is married to a man, that man can't make her do things to get out of the Lord. She has to stay in God. That's why it says submitting yourselves to one another as it is right in the Lord. So as this chief is working on the job, whatever job you're working on, you work as unto the Lord, not as a man pleaser. So I'm not here to please the mayor. I'm not here to please this person. I'm here to please God because I worship God. I don't worship man. God can give you another job. Man can't give you another job. You serve God. God's going to serve, going to save you. He's going to preserve. Don't fear man. If you walk around with the fear of man, he hadn't given you that spirit. That's why Jeremiah can speak this. So as he's destroying, he's also making. That's why when he gave Jeremiah the hammer, he said, I want you to build up, but I want you to tear down. We can't build God's altar and build Baal's altar. We have to tear down Baal's altar. Gideon had to go down and tear down Baal's altar. He had to pull his father's altar down first. Jeremiah had to tear down Baal's altar. But here, Israel, they were building Baal an altar and had God's altar. God's not going to accept that. The other gods accept that, but God is a jealous God. You can't serve God and mammon. You cannot do it. That's what Israel had did. They had served other gods. They had left a pure water that flows unto him, a pure sister, and started serving gods that were no gods. God that could not satisfy. So, in Isaiah, we see where it said, we see where in the paper says the chief's rights, he says that his rights was violated. Now, according to man's law. Now, see, that's where man get in a problem, because that's what Nikita Khrushchev says. He said, I'll make you violate your own constitution. See, when you violate your own self, you violating what you stand for. You become a hypocrite. what happens to them? Because in verse 19 and 7, he says, "And I will make void the counsel of Judah and in Jerusalem. I will make their judgments." Like I was telling someone, don't expect this to, you know, the courts may overturn, they may not. Only you, we read what signs come from that. But he says, "I'll make void the counsel of Judah, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of them that seek their lives." So, when man agree upon something up on earth, it looked as though the council of the Pharisees had won. It looked as though that by crucifying Jesus Christ, they got what they want. But eventually, they reaped what they sowed. This administration, the people, the religious people now, the people that are operating in government, a lot of them are Sadducees, not Pharisees now. Sadducees. That's the ones that are not as spiritually minded of spirit in the hereafter. In other words, they don't operate by that faith. They don't believe in the hereafter. They don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's why Paul was able to get the Pharisees and the Sadducees to fight when he stood before the council and said that he believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees believing, enjoying life here now. That's what was during Judah's time. Most of the religious people during those times were the wealthy people. It was the landowners. It was the people that was the merchants and the retailers. That's what they were doing. They were violating God's Sabbath. They was violating the laws of usury of their brethren. They were the people of wealth. And that's why I said, now you see the politicians cater to the people of wealth. These are the people that have their own priest and have their own temple. They were owners of the temples and things. And that's why they said God wasn't going to destroy the temple in Jerusalem and God wasn't going to destroy Jerusalem. Because they believed God wouldn't do anything. And you notice that most of the framers of the forefathers was deists. They believed God had established the earth, but as a plotman, he went away and left man to run it, and that he didn't directly intervene into the affairs of man, and that they believed that they were gods. That's why in Catholicism, they believe that the Pope is God's vicar on earth, and that they have themselves set up as rulers here on earth, that it goes through man. And they have a hierarchy, the way they have a hierarchy in those churches, and most churches follow those hierarchies. So you have Sadducee-based religion where these people, they want to get all that they can in this life. The earthly riches and the earthly wares, they're building bigger barns and they're not concerned with their own soul. But if you turn to the book of Matthew, and the Matthew the 20th, chapter, I think it is. Starting with the 25th verse. Because even his disciples was arguing who was going to be the greatest or who was going to rule in his kingdom. But Jesus made it implicit in telling his disciples these things. And he says, "But Jesus called unto them and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them." That's why you could worship Jesus as long as you said that Caesar was Lord during the Roman Empire, because Lord is the one that rules over your entire life. And see, a lot, that's why Jesus said, "You call me Lord and Master, but do not the things I say." See, a lot of people call him Lord, but he's not the Lord of their lives. And he says, "But if it shall be not so among you," verse 26, "but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your ministers. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. That's what our chief here was, a servant. The people that are servants of God work for God, and God does the exaltation. God places you in these jobs. God places you. It's God that exalts you, and he had gifted you to do the job that you do. That's why I say you should seek out for what gift, for what he created you for what purpose, and make sure of your calling and whatever vocation that is. Give it your all might. Give him your whole heart in that vocation and work for him. He's not structured the way they have it structured. Like I say, when they have bishop, archbishops, and popes, and all these different positions, apostles, and whatever the people want, there's no such positioning in Christ. They have juxtaposed it. There's a confusion of languages there. The elders are the highest ruling bodies in the church, and that's a body of people. That's why I was told you, Paul told Timothy and Titus to set up elders. Finish the work by setting up elders in the church. That way you don't have a monarch, a dictator in there, like Diotrephes was, that put people out of the church, and that he had to have the preeminence among people. It's some men that love to have the preeminence, love to be flash and dash and show all their beautiful colors and wardrobe and apparel, and love the applause of men. But God hadn't established his people that way. But as bringing the counsel to naught in the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, he was telling his people, Isaiah, the first chapter in the fourth verse, he says, "A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers." In other words, the whole head was sick. It was from the parents, the foreparents, your fathers. It was your councilmen. It was your mayors. It was your governors. It was your kings. The whole thing. That's why he helped to tear that system down. Satan, this world system has to be destroyed, and God build his kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God doesn't appear suddenly. So he's doing this, and us with hope see that he's doing this. Like I say, in situations that develop each day, you see God's hand at work establishing in his kingdom. And by faith, we help establish the kingdom of God by obeying his laws. So he says, "A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors." And that's what I said. We've had a corrupt nation, the corrupt state, and corrupt city. It's corrupt, so God has to replace that which is corrupt. "What's bound here shall be bound in heaven, and it shall not prosper in the God's face." But what it's doing now is accomplishing God's purpose. He's seeing who's going to be given to Eve. You can set back. The people are watching. The people of this administration, they're watching the judgeship. This is not just here in this state, in this city. It's being watched national. Everything is on a global scale now, because you can see God working throughout the world. So he says, "For they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are all gone backward. Why should you be stricken anymore?" And he's stricken this nation enough. He's stricken this state a whole lot with natural disasters, with great catastrophes and different things happening. So God has been not punished, you know, he's been punishing them, but they still continue to do evil. And they've been hardened in their sin. They've hardened themselves in their sin. So he says, "You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." And that's just like I pray as we speak, that God would anoint our eyes with eyesight, that we may see what's going on in the earth. But the preachers are not opening the people's eyes that they may see. And they're not being healed to that they've become whole. That's because they hadn't been born again. They have to have a circumcision of heart. God has to give them a new heart and a new way of thinking, a new rationale. But this hadn't happened, so God has to destroy that. That's the Edom, that's Esau. That's what God hates, so they have to be destroyed. That's why he broke this earthen vessel that Jeremiah had. It was broken because it couldn't be reformed. It was set in its ways. That's why I say, like some old people say, I'm set in my ways and I can't change. Well, God's not going to have anybody in heaven that can't change that is set in his way. It's going to be his way or no way at all. Your ways ain't like his, so yours won't be. So he says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. I think that's one good thing about immigration, and they're trying to head off illegal immigrants and all that. When I was in, me and my wife had went on our anniversary in San Antonio, there was some good people down there, different nationalities of different ethnic backgrounds, were really good people. And I think what God's doing, God's mixing the world back as it should be, a multitude of people. But just because you're saying that they're strangers to you, but they're brothers to us. They're brothers to us because they're brothers in the Lord. And that's why we love all men, and God will reveal to you those. Anything that happens to the chief, I feel it's happening with me, and I pray for him, and it's feeling. If one of us is hurting, if you see something happen to somebody that's good, it should really hurt you. Just like the Lord said, as you did this to the least of mine, you do it unto me. When I see a good person done wrong, it hurts me to see justice. See, it's no man cried out against injustice of the world, according to scriptural standards. So he says, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a large in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should be as Sodom and as should be like unto Gomorrah. That's why I said, we're not talking about the geographical city of Baton Rouge, the geographical city of Louisiana, or the geographical city, nation of United States of America. We're talking about the people, because they are of the people of the world. And Jesus said, I pray not for the world, because they have given over. He says, you are of your father, the devil. They are of their father, the devil. You see, that's what a lot of preachers be preaching about this and that. But sooner or later, the elders of the church know that it's time that you have to kill a wolf. It comes a time when you have to kill the wolf. Paul said during his time, grievous wolves wasn't going to enter the flock. But it's going to come a time that you have to kill the wolf. You can't keep playing with the wolf. Sooner or later, the wolf has to be killed. Because he says that you shall bruise his heel, but he should bruise your head. You have to put the rod on him. That's why David said, I kill a lion and a bear. Pretty soon, you will have to issue that death blow, because everybody is not going to be saved. You have to mock those that walk contrary. God's people are going to be mocked. And those that are not following it, they'll fall prey. And we can't save every, and that's the problem. He locked the ark from without. Noah couldn't open the ark. And some people you're not going to be able to save. You're not going to be able to bring into the church. You're not going to be able to huddle around. You've tried all you can do, but it comes a time for destruction. And if you're not serving God, if you're walking contrary to his laws, all that falls under the punishment said, spoken of in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th verse. So we have to see now that when God speaks to his elect elders, he's speaking and warning his people, and the elect are not involved in this. The elect hear God's voice, and they're humbling themselves. They're walking, they're churches today, so don't say this whole thing is terrible. You can say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, that he's working the work that he's supposed to be working, that he should. We know everything is on course, and God's in charge. We can see the disunity, but we can also see the unity. There's ambiguity in religion. There's this side and that side. But see, God's showing you the right side. And if you're walking with him, you'll be that remnant. He said, it's going to be that small remnant. Baton Rouge is going to be a very beautiful city. Those works that some of them work and say, didn't I build this or didn't I do this and do that in your name? He would tell them, I never knew you. But I'm going to be glad that he say, we will be able to dwell in houses that we didn't build. Some of them that's right now on the city council that's in high judgeship positions, we'll get to live in their houses because they were corrupt. God's going to cause them to fall. And this judge used to live here, but now I live here because he says houses that we didn't even have to build. They built it, but they didn't take care of their soul. See, he's not going to recognize their work. So you can build and do all this in God's name. But you see, God knows those that are his. And you just keep telling God's people, we told a lie. You just stay in my word. Don't let nobody get you out of God's word and you start to do evil. That's what happened in Jerusalem when Titus Vespasian came in. And they had the Pharisees and the religious people. They like the tea party. They said, we're going to stand the ground here and we're going to fight. It sounds good. But God's people knew to flee the city because it was time for its destruction. Flee the city. But you couldn't be as that harlot Rahab. Everybody huddling Rahab's house. Because when God's destroying the city, you be in the whorehouse and God's going to save you because you're his. He know those that was his. Wasn't that strange when God came in and destroyed that city that the only ones in that city was there that was saved that was one that was in a brothel? They were in Rahab's house, the town prostitute, wasn't it? But she was changed. She served God. See, don't worry about what this administration say about you. Don't worry about what the people high up say about you. But see, sometimes he says publicans or harlots will enter in before they do. Sometimes he says liars won't enter in here. You can see a liar. See, you have to walk rightly. You have to study to show yourselves approved. You don't get involved in rumors and innuendos and everything. But it's right there in the papers. It's right there on television. You sit there. You have full knowledge of these things. Your preacher's supposed to tell you that. But it's going to be churches that ain't able to tell you that. It's a lot of preachers that lost their churches behind this election. It's a lot of preachers that go different ways. But be man enough to say, well, look, I trusted him and I voted for the wrong man. I trusted this person. I married the wrong person. I trusted him and this happened and that. But God, you know that I love you. He knew that David loved him, but David was just flesh. God's going to save you. He had to kill that first child. But he had another child. You can get more. Job lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. But he got 7 more sons and 3 daughters because though he destroyed him, yet he still served God. The conclusion is, though the foundation be destroyed, you stay in Jesus Christ. You stay praying, stay studied up, and you stand with those that stand. Don't abandon your brothers and pray for them. Stay in prayer. Stay, because he's going to break the hardened vessels. If he don't rapture you out of here, if you have to go in the fire like Hebrew boys, God's going to be right there with you. I can see him standing with the chief in the fire. You may not get exonerated in this life, but this life is not all that there is. You see, a lot of people want to be exonerated in this life. But see, Jeremiah made an investment. He told him to put this money in this earthen vessel and hide it and buy this piece of land because you will be restored to the land. You will be restored to the land. You may not live to see it, but it's coming. Some of us that's real strong will get to see it in this life. I hope I be one of those ones that get to see it in this life. But if not, Joseph say, look, when God do this, you carry my bones out of here. You dig them up from here and carry them out of here. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in him. Have faith in him. Don't just jump on that unity train just to be unified with something. That's evil. That's evil. Can we just all get along? No, we can't get along unless God's in charge. And you, buddy, you're the adversary. I have to be careful of you. I have to walk circumspectly. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, hearing your word, Lord God, seeing the destruction of what happened to Judah. Now we see that very destruction, the same thing going on in our city and in our state, in our nation, Lord God. Help us to be resourceful in you, Lord God. Help us to be sound in the word. Pray it up, Lord God. Help us to stand for one another, Lord God. Help us to stay in your word and continue in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.